Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
George Santos is facing multiple investigations for lying about nearly every aspect of his life to make himself appear far more successful than he is, earning him the nickname Instagram. Of all of George Santos' lies, my favorite was that he was a standout volleyball player for Baruch College. Now, that is a fine thing to be, but an insane thing to pretend to be. Like, that's his fantasy? Like, it's like asking a kid, what do they want to be when they grow up? And they're like, I don't know, assistant manager at Kohl's.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a funny joke. That is a funny joke. You're right. That's a fine thing to be, but an insane thing to pretend to be.
You know, I almost wanted him to be sat down and said, look, tell us about, like, for instance, the I'm a volleyball star at Baruch College. Why that? Why that school? Why that level school? Why that sport? Is it because it's uncheckable? Is it get inside the mind of one of these congenital liars, one of these fabulists? So interesting.
So I am really into this whole cutting spending, debt ceiling conversation. We talk about things that I feel like we got to talk about them because they're in the news and they're kind of interesting and blah, blah, blah. But this story, the whole cutting spending thing, I'm really into. It's a big problem. It's going to ruin my kids' lives, or the kind of America they grow up in will be a lot different than the kind of America I grew up in, because the rubber's going to meet the road at some point. And I feel like it's our responsibility to do something about it. Anywho, so
you want your kids to grow up in France? Keep doing the same.
Huh? Is that what you want?
Yeah, but yeah, France, but with no Eiffel Tower, no yummy, overly buttery food, huh?
So, watching the Sunday talk shows yesterday, and, a couple of different things worth mentioning. First of all, they all jumped into the shooting story a little bit from Southern California. We got to come up with a new rule for broadcast media. Until you know something, don't talk about it. It's fine to touch it. Say there was a shooting. It would appear that 10 people died. We don't have any other information on that. As soon as we get some.
Oh, you're a fool. That'll never happen.
As soon as we'll get some, we'll talk about it. But killing 5 minutes to 15 minutes to several hours on speculation when you have no facts whatsoever is a complete waste of time when there are other stories to talk about. See, it actually is a zero-sum game with broadcast media. The half hour you just spent talking about the killing when you have no facts, you don't know who the person is, you don't know why they did it, you don't know who got killed, you don't know anything at all, this time you couldn't talk about either the Biden documents or this coming fiscal cliff or, as Joe was talking about last hour, the border and fentanyl and all the kinds of other different things.
Right.
But anyway,
right.
So they would eventually...
But if it leads. You know that.
So after they got through the shooting stuff, when they had no facts to discuss whatsoever, they would get to the fact that the FBI searched Joe Biden's home over the weekend, which is really quite extraordinary. A sitting president had the FBI rummaging through his things at his house.
For evidence on the killing of JFK, if you're just tuning in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or McKinley. It's Joe Biden. but then they would get to, as the people were heading out the door, they would say, Kevin McCarthy and Joe Biden and the fiscal cliff talks and blah, 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 blah. And all the Republicans would say, Kevin McCarthy is going to extract spending cuts. We have to do this. And all the Democrats would say, we're not negotiating anything. Joe Biden is not negotiating on this. We need a clean. So there doesn't seem to be any common ground on this situation whatsoever. And how this is going to turn out, I do not know. And yes, last week we were talking about this, and everybody who's being serious always says the same thing. If you're not going to touch any of the big entitlement programs, if you're not going to get into Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, then why are we even sitting down and having this conversation? Because that's what's driving the bus here.
Right, right. You're jobbing us. You're giving the old Jimmy jab, the old hidey-ho. I don't appreciate it. You're not being serious. Did they enact those extraordinary measures they were talking about? I think they did, like paying off the bonds with turtle shells and trinkets. And
right, right. And saying, look over there, and then running out of the room.
Right,
that's
right.
An extraordinary measure.
Beaver pelts for international trade.
What do you plan to do to be able to make this payment? Oh, my God, look at that. And then you run out the room. That's one of the extraordinary measures.
Wow.
So we brought up a whole the entitlements thing. Everybody calls these things entitlements because they started as programs to help people out, and then you come to believe you're entitled to certain things. That's why they call them entitlements. And you get some pushback all the time, like we did once week, this week. I've been paying into this my whole life. I want my money back. Well, Brian Reitel of the whatever think tank he's with, who's one of the great fiscal thinkers in America right now. More people need to read his stuff. He's so good. Anyway, he tweeted this out, and I thought it was really good. Me, he says, Social Security and Medicare shortfalls will force us to revisit promised benefit levels. We'll have to look into cutting levels or raising ages or various things. Mm-hmm. The reply is always, I demand to get back what I paid into the system. Me, I find your terms acceptable. In other words, I would love to pay you what you paid into the system. And he gives the charts on that, which make it much more difficult for that whole situation. The typical retiring couple will receive $3 in Medicare benefits for every dollar paid in. Three. And also will come out ahead on Social Security. So the typical person pays in about $161,000 to Medicare, will get back over $500,000. You pay in $161,000, you get back $522,000.
Mm-hmm.
With Social Security, it's a little closer, but it's still upside down. You pay in $625, you get back dang near $700,000. Obviously, that can't work for very long.
No, it's complicated too, because these federal programs, and George W. Bush tried to privatize Social Security to some extent, saying, look, if you think you can do better on your own, instead of giving the government your money and getting the worst investment returns in the history of mankind, feel free. Well, that was treated as some monstrous and evil proposal by those who profit from the government being as enormous as possible. So, again, you know, if you gave me, I can't remember the specific numbers you gave, but $100,000+ and then told me depending on when, as a 25-year-old, all right, in 40 years, you're going to be collecting on the money you kick in. The government will give you back triple what you invested. 25-year-old me would have said, yeah, let me invest the money. I'll take care of it. So it sounds like an unbelievable return. But in terms of I should get back what I put in, I'm not sure that's as strong an argument as it sounds, because you are forced to put it in to the worst investment in the history of mankind, you know, these entitlement programs. Now, having said that, though, you're right. The reality of it is young workers make up that enormous gulf, and that is unsustainable.
Yeah. As obviously as anything could be obvious, it is unsustainable and has been for quite some time.
By the way, the actual definition of an entitlement is any government-provided or government-managed benefit or service to which some or all individuals are entitled by law.
Okay.
So it's not a program with a start and stop date or anything like that. It's you're going to get it, period.
A lot of them,
but
have...
it's not a value judgment.
What's not a value judgment?
The term. I disagree with you. I don't think it got that name because people feel entitled to them. I think it got that term because they are legally entitled to them. There's no way you can take people's that away.
Well, I do disagree. I think culturally, I think people have come to, and that's because politicians have lied to them, to believe that without paying any attention their whole lives to the idea that at what age, 65, whatever age we call retirement at the time, I am entitled to get to stop working and be able to live.
I think you're right. I think we're both right. I remember the infamous Obama speech that seemed jolly good at the time, depending on your point of view, that everyone deserves a dignified retirement.
Right. That's an entitlement. You feel entitled to a dignified retirement no matter what you did, no matter how much money you put in, no matter how you spent your money, how much you saved, no matter what. That's just what you get to do when you're 65. And my health care for free.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I can understand why people would come to that conclusion, because that's what your politicians have told you.
Andrew Biggs wrote a great piece, Why Congress Will Never Reform Social Security and who will pay the price when the trust fund runs out. Since the mid-80s, Americans have been told that lacking additional revenue, Social Security will be unable to pay full benefits past the mid-2030s. That year has barely changed, by the way. That was absolutely correct. By 1992, Social Security's trustees urged that, quote, appropriate options to strengthen the long-term financing of the program should be developed. Bill Clinton tried to reform Social Security, shot down. George W. Bush tried, shot down. And yet nearly 40 years and more than $20 trillion of unfunded benefit obligations later, nothing has been done.
So if you go with the premise of they'll never reform Social Security, then what do you think happens? How does it play out?
Never until it actually goes broke.
Okay.
And then that's like, I'm going to reform my eating habits when I'm dying of, you know, obesity. It'll be too late to do so without significant pain. And in 10 to 14 years, there's going to be a fiscal disaster involving Social Security and Medicare. And everybody who knows it knows it. It's not a controversial proposition at all.
It's so crazy to me that we live in a world where that Barack Obama quote, which I've hung on to now for what? How long since he's been out of office? Decade and a half. Where he said, everyone deserves a dignified retirement. Okay, tell me how you're going to structure society like that. Put pencil to paper and explain to me how you're going to make that happen. It's impossible for the government to make that happen. There's no way on earth that anybody's ever come up with to do that you can sustain for any length of time.
Well, here's why you can't get anybody to vote for it. An average wage worker who's going to retire in 2035, over the course of their working career, will have saved nearly $125,000 in payroll taxes that they would have paid if the number was based on maintaining Social Security's long-term solvency. In other words, they have gotten $125,000 discount against reality. A worker earning the maximum salary subjected to Social Security payroll taxes would have saved more than $350,000 across their lifetime. Wait a minute. You can tell me you've got a $350,000 off coupon called Ignoring the Problem. Yeah, I'm going to use that coupon. How do you get people to vote against that?
Yeah, and you know, your argument about if you let 25-year-old Joe invest the money, well, that here's the argument against that sort of stuff, and I don't buy it, but this is the argument against that, is that...
I was a drunken jackass at the time. There's some validity there.
Well, a lot of people are drunken jackasses or just jackasses or unwise, or you don't think you'll ever actually be 65 when you're 25. I know, that's the way I thought. I will never be that old. Other people get that. Math doesn't check out for me. People won't invest it, and they'll get to be older, and it's too late. You can't go back and invest it now. So right. It's the government, you know, looking out for people's bad decisions, which over time does not work because then blah, blah, blah. We all know how that
works. Wow. I just had an amazing, powerful thought, but I'm looking at the clock. We must take a break.
Joe's amazing, powerful thought, among other things, on the way.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Was it the most important moment in my son's life? Saturday morning. That next. But first, Joe's amazing, fantastical thought. What was it? What
did you call powerful. It? It's powerful.
Amazing, yeah. Powerful thought.
You know, it would have been better in context. Unfortunately, we're discussing the fact that Social Security and Medicare are heading toward their own fiscal cliff. Everybody's known it for decades. It's indisputable, yet nothing is done about it. And that... I pointed out that, you know, if I could have opted out at 25 and just saved and invested that money myself, I would have been ahead of even the incredible deal where it's almost a 3-to-1 return on what you paid in versus what you're going to get. People think, I paid that in, I deserve it. Well, and again, because the numbers have been kept artificially low for political reasons. The amount you paid in, you're going to get triple what you put in out if you're the typical retiree. So anyway, and Jack pointed out, well, that's all well and good, but if, you know, I blew the money on cocaine and hookers and fast cars and vacations and whatever and ended up broke, certainly the left side of the aisle would say, Joe deserves a dignified retirement. We need more taxes. We need to give money to poor Joe. And the thought occurred to me, I wish we had more time for this, but it's amazing the number of bedrock principles of a happy, healthy life you have to put aside for socialism. Make good decisions. Plan for the future. Be responsible. Be a saver. Work hard.
One of my favorites, delay gratification.
Exactly. Whoa, yeah, yeah. Don't get married until you're out of high school. Don't have kids until you're married. Just all of the bedrocks of a healthy life as taught by all the major religions, all the major philosophers, Ben Franklin and Mark Twain and Abe Lincoln. I mean, just this bedrock stuff we've all known since we were little kids. How much of that gets put aside for socialism, or how much socialism undermines all of those bedrock things?
With the idea that people won't do those things, so we need to, take it out of their hands. Well, obviously, you get more immature behavior by coddling it than right. If people got punished for it and saw the example of what happens.
Well, and I've been hearing this since I was a little kid. If you make it clear that you will rob Peter to pay Paul, you will always have Paul's vote.
Yeah.
That's the basis of a lot of modern politics.
How much time have I got, Michael? I don't think I've
Great
got
Scott.
I got enough time for maybe the most important moment in my son's life Saturday morning.
But will your son be attending a college or university, Jack? It could be the great university scam has been deflated.
I hope so. I'm loving this story. If you haven't heard it, it seems to be a growing trend, so that's good. Over the weekend, Janet Yellen dismissed minting a $1 trillion coin, so apparently that's being
Damn
taken
it.
Seriously at high levels. The $1 trillion coin?
How about a $750 billion coin? I'm
wow.
not greedy.
If you miss an hour of the show, you can get the podcast Armstrong and Getty on demand. We have a whole bunch of different topics. The FBI was looking through a sitting president's home over the weekend. We got to talk more about that. That's crazy.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
The Biden classified document scandal and the Trump classified document scandal are very different, but they do share one big thing in common. They both make Hillary Clinton want to blow our damn brains out. It would have been so funny if they searched Biden's garage and he had Hillary's server.
So Hillary's got to be thinking, I might be president if people were aware that we all have classified documents.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
So a couple of things coming up. One on that topic. I don't think this got the proper attention over the weekend. An opinion piece essay in the New York Times, the Sunday New York Times. Oh, Biden, what have you done? I think it's a key insight into what the thinking is. And also, Michael claims he has a candidate for clip of the year.
Yep.
Wow, an early candidate.
Yeah, we're only in January, but and he thinks he's got a candidate for clip of the year, so we'll get to that next segment. My son had could be a very, very big moment in his life on Saturday. And it remains to be seen. I signed him up for this acting class. And I talked to him about it a while back, and then he said he thought he'd wanted to do it, and then it got close, and he decided he didn't want to do it because it was too girly. And I was trying to convince him that it's not just girls that go to acting classes. You watch TV, have you noticed? And the TV shows, there's lots of boys and guys, too, in all those shows. They went to acting classes, too, but he just was sure it was going to be all girls. We got there. Luckily, it was more boys than girls. So,
yeah, and, give it 5 years, and you tell him it's all girls. He's like, sign me up.
Right. I'm hoping it's all girls. No kidding. It's interesting. I was talking to one of the moms, and she chose this particular acting class because she said she did a different acting class for her kid, and it was all designed around having your kid be best prepared for auditions for commercials. It's for people who want to make their kids stars and audition for TV commercials, which sounds like the worst thing that you could possibly do to your kid if they're successful. But anyway.
That sort of thing runs hot and cold through youth theater. But go on.
Anyway, so at this acting class, which is just acting, they did improv, and he got several laughs in front of the whole class. And I think, I don't know, I've heard entertainers talk about everything was different after they got their first laugh, or musicians after the first time, you know, play a song and people cheered or something like that. Nothing is ever the same. You want that the rest of your life. I'm actually hoping that is the case, I think. Just so he has a drive toward a specific direction, which he currently doesn't have. But he got his first laugh in front of people. You know?
Wow.
That could change your brain chemistry. So we'll see.
I am familiar with that hit of crack. Yes.
Right. The hit of crack is, wow. This is some good positive feedback I'm getting. This feels pretty good.
Look at all those people looking at me.
Yeah, that's funny. In a few years, it'll be, where are the acting classes that only the girls sign up for?
Yeah. There's a lot of weirdness in youth theater, particularly in the modern day. It's like every single ball player, every single soccer player, their parents are thinking scholarship, scholarship. And everybody acting in anything, their parents are thinking stardom, stardom. But in spite of that, it's still great.
Sure.
And your kid will learn something seeing that, honestly. We don't regret having all of our kids in theater, even though there was plenty of weirdness, especially as you got on to like the higher skill levels. The number of stage moms and
somebody brought this up. So I mentioned a concert the other night at the school, his very first band concert. Who brought it up? Was it the band teacher or somebody playing some of the more obscure instruments is the best way to get a scholarship because, you know, the university needs an oboe player, too. I mean, as opposed to just the trumpet or the snare drum or whatever. And I thought, wow,
I know a gent who got a scholarship because he played, I can't remember, it's one of those odd instruments like an oboe or a bassoon or something like that. And he said he was decent, but they just desperately needed a bassoonist.
Wow. Well, that's
at this university, this college.
That's cool if you want to play the oboe or whatever. Maybe I should be thinking of what's the best way to get a scholarship is, obscure instruments or obscure. I remember in high school, a friend of mine, his dad had him practicing long snapping all the time because nobody practiced that and nobody works on that all the time. Just so you could be the long snapper somewhere.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a running back or a quarterback or catch the ball. Nobody's long snapping out there. And this little tidbit before we move on, I don't know how I came across this or why I came across this, but guitar player Joe Walsh from way back in the day with the Eagles and everything like that,
He goes to parties, sometimes until 4.
He played the oboe in high school band. I just found I just found that fascinating.
Fascinating. Joe Walsh trivia.
It really is.
And oboe trivia. Let's file it under both, Michael. As you compile the history of the show.
It has been noted.
File under rock legend trivia and oboe trivia.
Yes. Yes.
Funny.
Terrific, yeah.
Speaking of scholarships and getting to college. Because you got to go to college if you want to get a job. We all know that.
So, great piece just read in journalism, as the cliche goes. If it happens once, it's an anomaly. If it happens twice, it's a coincidence. Three times, it's a trend. And indeed, this has happened now 3 times recently. One Democrat, two Republican governors all signed executive orders vastly opening up state government jobs to people without four-year degrees.
I got to admit, I didn't know that that was the rule already. I hate that. I think it's freaking ridiculous. As a taxpayer, you know, who's paying all the salaries for that, I don't like that at all. That's crazy. What's your justification for that? That somebody can't apply for a state government job unless they have a four-year degree? What's your justification for that?
It's just kind of a cover charge, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of it was seen as obligatory. If you are a person of any intellect, of any curiosity, of any, you know, well, intellectual ability, surely you'll get an undergraduate degree.
No, I think it's part of a state scam. You got state colleges with all kinds of money going and you're funding that, and then you make it a rule that you have to get the degree to get to any job in the government. It's just part of the perpetual funneling everybody through college machine.
Well, I think there's some truth. You sound a little like one of those wacky conspiracy theorists, but there's some truth to that. Although the cultural norm of if you don't go to college, you're a loser. Barack Obama hammered that.
Right.
Anyway, here are the problems. And a lot of you know this, partly because we've been talking about it a lot. A college degree is completely different than it was 25, 30 years ago. The kids don't learn. The teachers don't teach. The universities are these gigantic, bloated, for-profit scams. I mean, just a couple of things very briefly. During the commercials, did a little clicking around to remind myself of a couple of things. Article I came across the other day, the University of Michigan, the Wolverines, the proud University of Michigan, has 163 DEI employees, diversity, equity, and inclusion employees, almost all of them making six figures or better. They're spending millions and millions of dollars on indoctrinating the kids into yay for discrimination. It's disgusting. That's kind of a side topic. How about Stanford University? As the Wall Street Journal reported, had more administrative staff than students. Specifically, there were 15,750 administrators, 2,288 faculty members, and 16,937 students. More administrative staff than students. And this article in mindthecampus.org actually puckishly suggested maybe every student should have an education concierge that just follows them around and helps them get their degree because they got plenty of them. Getting back to the original thought. So you got Pennsylvania's brand new Democratic Governor Josh Shapiro. He signed an executive order opening 92% of the state's government jobs to people without four-year degrees. And he asked the state administrator, whatever that is, to examine whether the other 8% could also drop the degree requirement. Take a look. Make sure it's necessary, he said. And he said, every Pennsylvanian should have the freedom to chart their own course, have a real opportunity to succeed. They should get to decide what's best for them, whether they want to go to college or straight into the workforce and not have that decided for them. As long as, indeed, that's appropriate for the job in question, I think that's great. Shapiro's order follows similar steps by Utah Governor Spencer Cox, Republican, and now former Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. The governor's actions, however small, reflect a meaningful shift in the labor market away from blanket degree requirements, particularly for mid-level jobs.
God, if I'm going to hire people to work wherever I am, at whatever the business is, the idea that that's a requirement, you got a four-year degree, doesn't matter what the degree was, just seems insane to me in terms of getting the best people to work there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And how it's evolved, I think, indicates something. And this is back to the Barack Obama era. The proportion of job openings that required candidates to have a four-year degree was already on the rise heading into 2008, but it left about 10% over the course of the Great Recession as slack jobs markets gave employers leeway to demand more qualifications. The shift was
that
most prevalent.
That would be fine as a sentence if I felt like a four-year degree was a qualification for anything. I don't.
Right. Right. Again, I think many
people... You're demanding more qualifications. Okay, well, have one then.
It reminds me, especially of like 5-10 years ago, when folks of our generation or older, when they heard marijuana, they were thinking of the pot they might have smoked or people they knew smoked. Well, pot these days is a completely different commodity. It is incredibly powerful, high THC, mind-erasing, just, you know, powerful drug. In the same way, people think college degree, that's a good thing. I got a college degree. My siblings did. I'm in favor of this. Well, now it's just the paper. It's like a high school diploma in California. You don't have to do anything. They'll give you one so they don't get in trouble. That's all the diploma is. Likewise, college. They'll give you one so you won't complain and knock down their grades as a professor or whatever on Yelp. Your Yelp reviews as a physics professor won't suffer by, I don't know, giving somebody a B.
Or the, what is that magazine that does the college rankings?
U.S. News and World Report. Yeah. More and more schools opting out of that, by the way. And that is for the same reasons. It's just become, the college thing has become so perverse and the tail is so wagging the dog. Anyway, getting back to the stats, the number of jobs that required a 40-year degree leapt by about 10% during the Great Recession. The shift was most prevalent for so-called middle skills jobs, neither doctors nor line cooks, but business managers, paralegals, other professions that often require training beyond a high school diploma, but don't universally necessitate a bachelor's degree. A recent report from Harvard Business School labor economist Joseph Fuller and others found employers began relying on degrees as proxies for a range of skills, including communication, taking feedback, and computer literacy.
Wow.
As opposed to just seeing if the person has those skills. Well, they thought, okay, if they have a degree, I can assume they have those things. If they don't, I can assume they don't. It will save me time.
I like this from both ends.
That assumption would be fine if it didn't cost you $175,000 and plunge you into crippling debt because the University of Michigan is spending $50 million a year or whatever the hell it is on phony crap because they can. It's so bloated.
But I like it from both ends. I like it from the bringing down this whole weird university structure that we currently have in the country. And I think it'll make us more competitive by opening it up to more people that are being left out for stupid reasons.
Phenomenon also hurts employers. According to the HBS report, the Harvard Business School, middle skill job listings requiring college graduates not only took longer to fill, but once hired, college graduates were less engaged than peers without a four-year degree and left companies faster, despite earning salaries up to 30% higher.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and they go into some details about how the COVID-era job market has caused some changes, but between the changing nature of what a college degree is, the nature of the workforce, the changing need for various skills, there are other ways to figure it out than sticking people with a $140,000 bill for college or whatever it costs. And I'm in favor of liberal arts education. I love it. I think it's important, but it ought to cost at a maximum $5,000 a year. Maybe eight to get a solid liberal arts education. All that knowledge is online.
Michael claims he has a candidate for Clips of the Year.
Bold talk.
Impressive. I think the Democrats are trying to push Joe Biden out. And I can't taste sugar. I have definitely proven that, which is interesting. I think it's a long COVID of some sort. Anyway, much stuff on the way. Stay with us.
The Armstrong and Getty. Armstrong and Getty Show.
So Michael claims he's got a clip he thinks is worthy of inclusion in the Clip of the Year festival we do at the end of the year. This could be one of the clips of the year. This is a woman very angry calling an internet company.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, well, let's hear.
Get me through to a supervisor now! Record the f*** out of this call and get me to a supervisor now! Do it!
Ma'am, there isn't any reason for me to... Ma'am.
Get me through to a supervisor, you little f***! No, there's your personal foul language! I said supervisor now!
Okay, ma'am. All right.
Now!
Okay.
Now!
Okay, give me...
Now!
I'm going to put you on hold, ma'am.
Don't say another word to me.
I think I'm on her side.
I am absolutely on her side. I've never done that because it would hurt my throat, among other things. But
wow.
I have certainly felt that. I've had that track running in my head. Mostly just over the, look, your system you got here with either the automated computer system at the beginning or talking to you, it doesn't work. How do y'all not know this doesn't work? I was trying to order food at a restaurant the other day where they won't let you do it any other freaking way than through their automated system. It doesn't, and it takes you a half hour to get to a human being to tell them, it doesn't work, all right? Ugh. It just doesn't work.
Wow.
I'm afraid we're going to have to hear this again. That is some voice.
Oh, when boy, she sounded like a real princess, didn't she?
Get me through to a supervisor now! Record the f*** out of this call and get me to a supervisor now! Do it!
Ma'am, there isn't any reason for me to... Ma'am.
Get me through to a supervisor, you little
f***! Wow.
No, there's your personal foul language! I said supervisor now!
Okay, ma'am. All right.
Now!
Okay.
Now!
Okay, give
now!
Me...
Don't say another word to me! Now!
I'm gonna put you on hold, ma'am.
It's that last
wow.
10 seconds. It's the best. Now, now, now.
Yeah, wow. That is something.
Yeah, she is not hinged.
One is reminded of the screech of the bobcat as it attacks, or Roger Daltrey's famous scream in The Who's Won't Get Fooled Again. That's some really good screaming there. No! Poor gal. Must have had a rough day.
Democrats with their most obvious angling to get Biden out of the White House. Happened in the New York Times over the weekend. We can talk about that in hour three of the Armstrong and Getty Show. I mentioned a week or so ago, I just have discovered that I lost the sense of taste. I assume because of one of my COVID episodes. Not taste, just sweet. I think it's the only... I've lost my sense of sweet, which is why I think I've been eating so many donuts and stuff like that. I'm craving something sweet, but I'm not getting the sweet from them. So I eat more than I normally do. Well, I did, and I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier, did a couple of tests on Saturday. Like, I forget what I got. I got like a mocha or something and said, taste this. Is this sweet? It tastes bitter to me. Yeah, it's really sweet. Okay, it tastes bitter to me. I got out a bag of sugar, you know, that GH pure cane sugar that you might have a bag of.
That's a pretty good test.
That's a pretty good one. I don't know why I didn't think of it before. I took a spoonful of that sugar and it was like sand. It was just like chewing sand. It had no flavor to me whatsoever. If it had
the
any
COVID
flavor at all.
COVID ate away your brain.
If it had any flavor.
That's not, you know, the medical term, but.
If it had any flavor at all, it was bitter. It just tasted like bitter sand. Isn't that wild? I've lost
how disconcerting.
I wonder how long that'll last. I wonder if it's... And I would have always thought, previously, if you lost your sense of taste, maybe you'd eat less, you know, sweets and stuff like that. It's been the opposite. I'm eating way more sweets. Trying to you know, I get the urge for a sweet or my sweet tooth or whatever, and I can't fulfill it.
Right.
So
deep in your caveman brain, you know you need a certain number of berries and that sort of thing.
Yeah, huh. I get no sweet sensation. Interesting. Huh. If you miss an hour of this show, grab the podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.